Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. You're watching Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is September 28th, and we are going to be chatting AEW Dynamite. And joining me here today, Phil, I thought you weren't going to make it. I started the show, and I was like, Phil's not here. He's going to come in eventually. But thank you so much for coming in last minute to join the stream today. We got AEW Dynamite to talk about here today. Like I said, it was an interesting show today. We got a lot of stuff that I think is going to be fun to talk about. I don't know if this episode was necessarily as loved as maybe some of the other episodes were. I think there were some things that didn't necessarily hit. I didn't think today was the best episode of Dynamite, but it was still a fine overall episode. Now, also, if you are here for the first time, if this is your first time watching or you're a regular, please make sure to be active in the chat. I do pull out people's comments throughout the entire night, get your opinions on everything and kind of go from there. On top of that, if you want to support this podcast and keep everything like going and just show some love and support, and if you also want to make sure you get your questions or your comments read here on this podcast, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. They are very much appreciated on the show. So if you do send them in, that is awesome. All right, guys. So let's get into this show. all right, let's get into it. So we kick things off with the Jericho Appreciation Society. So Jericho, the brand new Ring of Honor World Champion. That was like a crazy discussion last week because I think there were some people that were like kind of upset about Jericho being Ring of Honor World Champion. And then there was people like me that actually kind of saw it as a good thing. Now, today we had the celebration, and that was interesting too because they come out, you know, obviously Jericho's going to do the whole like big showmanship stuff with the Jericho Appreciation Society. They come out and they're all completely dressed in these purple suits. And they're doing their thing. They look kind of great. I'm not going to lie to you. I loved the purple suits. I'm not a fan of velvet. I don't like the velvet kind of material, but I did like the purple suits. I thought they looked pretty great. So they're out there. They're having this big celebration. They got the purple rug. They got a pizza guy who apparently I had no idea. Turns out that the pizza guy, Luigi, whatever his last name is somewhat problematic, and I had no idea, but instantly, like, all over Twitter, like, the second, like, that he came out, there was a lot of people, like, pretty much, like, posting that up and sharing that on social media, and I thought, oh my god, like, interesting there, because I didn't even know who he was, and then all of a sudden, it was, like, all of this negativity and all of that surrounding the pizza guy. So, turns out the pizza guy was a little bit of a problematic thing today, at least on, you know, what people were saying in regards to him, but whatever. So he's out there doing his pizza stuff. He's making pizza supposedly with the dough and whatnot. We got Jericho appreciation boxes, pizza boxes. I appreciate the small little details and that kind of stuff. So I like that they kind of went all out and just like, you know, put in little things with the pizza boxes, having the pizza guy, etc. It was kind of funny to see all of that. So we got this back and forth between Bryan Danielson, Daniel Garcia, the Jericho Appreciation Society, a little bit of what we've been getting the last couple of weeks with obviously, you know, the friction between all of them there. This essentially led to a match between Bryan Danielson and Matt Menard. So this was for the most part your straightforward, a straightforward match. You see Danielson going out there doing his chops, giving his clothesline, doing the yes kicks, all of your Bryan Danielson-esque stuff that we see. On top of that, Claudio Castagnoli came out and he did an awesome uppercut on Angelo Parker that ended up literally knocking the guy's shoe off. So Parker went back with one shoe off and one shoe on. Bryan Danielson did end up getting the win via submission. We'll talk more about Chris Jericho, you know, obviously for the later portion of the show since he was in the main event. But for the most part, I kind of liked what they're doing, coming out and just being the obnoxious Jericho Appreciation Society that they normally are. I thought all of this was this was all good stuff for me. I appreciated this celebration. But let's get into your super chats because we do have a couple here. This is from Uriel Landeras, who says, Bandito can freaking work. I'm hoping this isn't a one-time appearance. He carried the match, literally. Saludos, Denise. Glad your voice is back. Thank you so much, guys. For those of you who do not know, this last whole entire week, it's been hell for me because I've lost my voice. then I had a cold, and today's the first day that I haven't been like coughing up a lung. So it's been really nice to be able to actually speak and hold my own for the most part. So thank you so much to Uriel for sending in this super chat. And yes, Bandido can freaking work. Like, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are new to Bandido, or, you know, I don't know. It depends on your viewing habits and what, you know, pro wrestling you're consuming. I don't know everybody's schedule, but Bandido has literally been doing amazing freaking work for quite some time now. And he's always the guy that I'm wondering, like, he was one of the guys like earlier on where I kept thinking, like, why isn't he signed? Like, and I know that, you know, the goal isn't always to get signed to a specific place, because, you know, there is money to be made when you're, you know, traveling and you're freelance and all of that stuff. So he might prefer that, but he's definitely one of those guys where I'm like, dude, like, I would like, you know, want him on my roster, you know, that sort of thing. So again, we'll talk more about Bandido and Jericho later on when we get to the main event. But legitimately, I do agree with you. I really hope that we do get to see more of Bandido in AEW. So thank you so much to Uriel for sending that in. We got a super chat here from Anthony Navarro, who says, hey, Denise, Full Gear will be my first ever wrestling event live. What should I expect? I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, when it comes to AEW pay-per-views and going to the shows, I'm going to be real with you, man. They are long days. So I suggest you coordinate your snacks. To be honest, that's something that I honestly think you should do. Coordinate when you're going to eat, like legitimately plan it out, because there is a lot. Coordinate when you're going to go to the bathroom, because it's a long show, so you're going to be there for several hours. So figure out when you're going to go and do all of that. But my third tip, and this is the most important one, is take an external charger for your phone, because like I said, they are long nights. And if you're somebody who's constantly on your phone, which you probably won't be for the show, but if you're like tweeting and stuff or whatever, or you want to capture photos, like I always suggest taking an external drive for the actual, you know, for your phone and whatnot. But honestly, it's usually a pretty good show. It's a fun experience going live, that's for sure. Thank you so much to Anthony Navarro for sending that in as well. All right, so people are asking about Phil's audio. I haven't heard back from Phil. I don't know what happened. He's gone. So I'll just wait for him to come back at some point. I don't know if he's going to be able to make it back or not. I guess we'll figure it out if he pops in here or not. So we'll see. I haven't seen him on Twitter, or he hasn't sent me a DM yet. So I don't know. So I'll just be waiting. If he comes back, then he comes back. But if not, we'll just keep rolling with the show. All right. So continuing on with this here, let's go ahead and move on from this. This was a fun start, though. I will say this, though. Anytime you have a show kicking things off with, like, Bryan Danielson going out there and kicking some ass, when you have an awesome promo right at the beginning of the show, and then you also had, like, William Regal on commentary pretty much going off and saying all this stuff. Phil's in here. Oh, my gosh, I can hear you. Thanks.
Okay. I had to completely, like, go and plug in a different mic because this one is not working. I don't know what's going on.
No worries. Everybody was like, where's Phil? Where's Phil? I'm like, I have no idea where Phil's at. But thank you so much for making it and for, you know, dealing with all of that. I know that sometimes it can be stressful trying to figure out what the hell is going on with technology. So right now we kind of recapped the Jericho Appreciation Society promo and the Bryan Danielson, Matt Menard match. Oh, Jesus. So, Phil, I wanted to ask you, like, what did you think about this start of the show? How do you feel about the Jericho Appreciation Society? And how did you feel about this match?
I was not a big fan of putting the title on Jericho.
I was on the opposite end of this argument.
So, coming into this, I was interested to see how they were going to do this, because I do like the Jericho versus BCC stuff. But I was just very iffy on putting the title on him. The segment was very good. I thought everything they did with Garcia leading into it was great. The stuff with Luigi in the background, flipping the pizza, also hilarious. And the match was great. I thought that the match was very intentionally set up like a WWE segment, of even the way they cut into the match, the way they introduced the match. And so I thought it worked.
I did too. Like, I didn't hate it. Like I said, like, it was pretty much a straightforward, you know, Bryan Danielson matches that we've been seeing, especially with a guy, you know, with Matt Menard. Like, this was exactly what you were expecting. So I thought all of this was perfectly fine. I did like the celebration too. I mentioned loving, like, all the little details, you know, that Chris Jericho obviously thinks of a lot of different stuff. And you see that incorporated in this. And it's funny because, and again, we'll talk more about Chris Jericho when it comes to the main event, because I do want to circle back and talk about his Ring of Honor Championship run, but we'll talk about that afterwards. Let's get into Wheeler Yuta and MJF. Now, this was something because so we had Wheeler Yuta come out, and he's basically, you know, the first they had already promoted that MJF was going to be the one to go out there and, you know, cut this promo, right? This was what had been promoted. But instead, Wheeler Yuta goes out there first, and he's basically going off and he's telling them that he's pissed off for what he did to Tony Schiavone last week. And he basically says, like, you know, this is my city and, you know, I'm here to fight. And he goes on and on, right? MJF finally comes out, and MJF, you know, hits all of his points. He basically says that, you know, he attacks Philly. He says that Philly is the place that you come when you can't afford to live in New York. He says that Wheeler Yuta is clearly that he's not a coward. He mentions wrestling him throughout the indies, you know, for quite some time. He talks about that, but then he says that, you know, last week he tried to go toe-to-toe with him on the mic and essentially couldn't really hold his own, you know, that sort of thing. And then he goes on to say that Yuta was taking time away from him, given that he is the biggest draw in AEW, the biggest draw in pro wrestling, and then says that he has the personality of Joe Frazier, and Joe Frazier is dead. He talks about being a multimillionaire at the age of 26, making more money than us. And then Yuta, I'm thinking, like, Yuta's done at this point, right? But Yuta comes back and he says, you know, I don't care about all of that stuff. I'm going to leave you in a pile of your own blood. MJF eventually has the Gun Club coming out, and he ends up going to the Skybox. They finish his spiel for him, and we'll talk more about them afterwards and what happened there. But I want to ask you how you felt about Wheeler Yuta and MJF, specifically given Wheeler Yuta's portion of the promo here.
I thought Yuta was great. I thought that Yuta surprisingly won this promo exchange. And I'm not just saying that because MJF called me a bitch on Twitter.
Your mentions were really fun that day, I bet.
Yeah. But I thought that Yuta won this segment, especially when MJF had to come back and say, well, I have more money than you. And I was like, you lost because you have nothing else to come up with, because he told you everything you were going to say before you came out. And when you had nothing left, you were like, well, I make more money than you. And I said, you lost the segment.
Okay, see, I got to disagree with you, Phil, on this one. I feel like, okay, last week, I felt bad for Yuta. I really did. I felt bad for him because I just thought, like, oh, that's so bad. Like, he tried to, like, do, like, a promo off with MJF, and it didn't work. Like, here's the thing. If you're going to do any sort of promo stuff with MJF, like, you legitimately got to be good, because if you're anything less than that, MJF's going to wipe the floor with you, like, period, okay? So personally, there were some portions of Yuta's promo, like, that I liked for this. I thought it was a million times better than what he did last week, and I thought he was way more comfortable this week. Yeah. But I did feel like there were some portions where he kind of, like, maybe lost the people just a tad bit, especially in the beginning. And I think there was, like, a moment where, like, the guy's voice cracked and everything. So I was like, oh no, Yuta, get it together. I'm rooting for you. But afterwards, when he told MJF that he didn't give a shit about all of that stuff and that he was going to wipe the floor with him, I think that was really the moment where the crowd was like, okay, Yuta, like, we hear you. I didn't think he outdid MJF, but I do think he ended up holding off. He ended up holding his own afterwards.
Yeah. The only reason I feel like he won this segment is because I didn't think that MJF recovered well, especially after the part where he tried to go in on the Philly fans, and then Yuta jumped back on the mic and he was like, there it is. There's the Philly fan line. And I don't think he came back with anything to really combat that. But then he tried to go, oh, well, I make more money than you. And it's like, well,
See, we got Timothy Page here who says the person who makes more money wins every argument. That is a trump card that has no rebuttal.
That's not true. That's not true, because you guys jumped all over Seth Rollins when he tried to throw it out on Ospreay. That's not true. I'm not going to let you guys try and give that to MJF now.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I think like that's like always something that you can come with where you're like, you know what? Well, I make millions, so suck it. So I think we're on different points of view here, but I love it. Justin Martin says Yuta actually held his own this week on the mic with MJF, much better than last week when it was like a kitten fighting a lion. Dude, it's true though. Like, I felt so bad for him. But we got a super chat here from Traverus Black who says, I'm happy to see them finally trying to illuminate the AEW's women's division, and I can't wait to see Thunder Rosa's return.
That segment.
Can't wait to talk about that segment. It's upcoming. We'll get there in a bit because I have a feeling we're going to have some interesting words to say about it. But thank you so much to Traverus Black for sending in the super chat here as well. All right, so after this, we got Juice Robinson versus John Moxley. Juice Robinson making his AEW debut. This was a world title eliminator match. And this was actually pretty, this was okay. I thought this was fine. I didn't think it was like the world's greatest match by any means. I didn't even think it was the best match of the night, but it was still fine. You know, Juice basically goes on in the attack immediately after John Moxley. He gets the match started before the bell even rings. So, okay, you know, he's going right after the champion, fine. I thought it was a pretty fun start to the match. But afterwards, for the most part, I kind of thought like it took a little bit to really build up. I thought there were some moments where the crowd didn't seem like too invested in this match. So that kind of did take me out a little bit. It really wasn't until like Juice hit the Pulp Fiction where I thought like, okay, this match is starting to feel like it's picking up a little bit. And I did like the regal knee from Moxley going in and eventually getting the win. This was an okay match. I think it could have been just a little bit more intriguing personally. How did you feel about this match portion of John Moxley and Juice Robinson? Do you think that Juice Robinson made a big enough impact here on AEW tonight?
It was very strange because it almost felt like they just completely erased everything that happened before CM Punk came back. It feels like we're right back to Mox's reign right after Forbidden Door. Like everything about it, like the fact that he's wrestling New Japan guys again, the fact that he's doing like the Eliminator matches, it all felt like exactly the same as his second reign, well, his interim reign. And so that part of it just kind of made it weird, but I thought it was fine for what it was. I don't know if I would say Juice impressed people where it's going to be like, oh, you've got to sign Juice now. But I thought it was good. I think if you've enjoyed what Juice has been doing with Bullet Club, I think this would be right up your alley. But if you don't know anything about him, I don't think this is going to be the match. Like, all right, I want to see more.
Exactly, because that's the thing. Like, if you've seen like, you know, other Juice Robinson matches, then you probably, you know, expect maybe just a little bit more. I didn't think that this definitely met the level that we were expecting. And then I did like that, you know, commentary was really like mentioning like, you know, this guy's a free agent. And it did come out earlier today that he has separated from New Japan Pro Wrestling. He said in an interview that he really wanted to make that clear. You know, he talked about getting to appear today on AEW Dynamite. So it's cool. It seems to me like just that, you know, they're really trying to tell the story of like, hey, there's a real possibility that this guy could be on AEW, especially because I feel like they hit the free agent lines a lot more than some of the other guys that we've seen that weren't signed somewhere and, you know, showed up to AEW and did like a match. You know, I feel like they definitely made sure that people knew that Juice Robinson was a free agent for this.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, and like, here's the thing, like, Juice Robinson, I feel, could bring a lot of good stuff to AEW, but because that roster is so bloated, I don't really feel like I'm like, oh my God, like, yes, you got to do it. You got to go with Juice Robinson, because it does kind of feel like the roster to me is pretty bloated already.
I did think it was ironically very funny after we saw all week people saying, well, you know, this person just wants to go and be with their significant other somewhere else. And then you get Juice show up on this week. And
it was,
he's
Miro,
like,
hey, right? Miro said that, didn't he?
I think it was Miro. And then they were trying to say that with Buddy as well. But I did think the timing of it was funny that he just shows up this week like, hey, I'm a free agent. You know, I happen to know somebody that works there that, you know, I might be married to. So I did think that part of it was funny.
That's awesome. All right, guys, before we continue on, we're about to get into the women's segment of the night. And I know that one's going to be a hot topic for tonight. But before we get into that, just a heads up, if you guys want to help support the show, send in your questions, your comments, your statement, your rants, your opinion, your hot take, whatever it is, feel free to send it in a super chat. It does help out the show very, very much. But now, let's get into this women's segment because there's a lot in here and I don't know how we all perceived it. Okay. So first of all, last week I was the person, I'm guilty, Phil, of saying Saraya instead of Saraya. So I was saying Saraya instead of Saraya. There you go. That's what it is. Because of the way that it's spelled. Were you confused too, or what? I was one of the people that was confused.
I was confused. I was like, wait, didn't you just say the same thing? Those two things sound the same.
You're like, wait, what? What's going on? Okay, so last week I was saying Saraya, but I've been practicing and I'm like, Saraya it is. All right, anyways, so Saraya comes out and, you know, we've been anticipating what she's going to say because so many of us don't know what her future role is really going to look like in AEW, right? We don't know if she's clear, if she's not clear, you know, all of those finer details. Right. So she comes out. She says that she's back. She says, you know, I'm damaged, but I'm not broken at the end of the day. She says that she's here to create change in the division. And I thought that kind of meant a lot, especially given how much the AEW women's division is tends to be a hot topic. Right. She says, you know, she's going to be the revolution. And then she says, like, oh, you know, she was kind of nervous. So she tells the people it's hard to talk. I'm a little bit nervous. But then she goes on to say that AEW is officially her house. And then she says, bring out the ladies. And I'm thinking the whole entire roster is going to come out right now, all of the women. And instead, a couple of the ladies come out, and this includes Toni Storm. And during this, Saraya then starts putting over Toni Storm, saying that she's finally being used to her full potential, that she's a fighting champion, and that she is the best AEW women's champion there is. And this definitely got some boos from the crowd. And afterwards, Britt Baker comes out with her girls, and she basically says that Saraya is another new shiny toy, that they've seen them come and go, and she has a brutal savage line where she says, I literally put blood, sweat, and tears into this company. In fact, I even put my neck on the line for AEW. Unlike yours, mine's is actually strong enough to handle it. And then from here, she goes on to say that half of the people don't even know how to pronounce her name. Jamie Hayter is like getting Jamie Hayter chants from the crowd. And then eventually Britt Baker ends up calling out Serena Deeb, and this leads to a match. Before we get to the match itself, let's talk about this promo. Phil, what did you think about all of this?
It became very obvious to me midway through this promo that she is not used to the AEW audience. And not just not used to the AEW audience. It almost felt like she's not used to not cutting the scripted promos anymore. Because it was just like when she didn't just have like the scripted promo to run by, she went straight back to the catchphrases. And that worked. It got buzz, but it was very clear that that's what she was trying to do. And Britt caught on to that. And being that she is better at that, she came out and she pointed it out right away and exposed her. And then in Britt fashion, which Britt does a lot with a lot of women on the roster, she kind of got the last word, and then Saraya didn't have a comeback for her, and it looked very bad. It's weird because tweeting out for this show, I said I was looking forward to this promo the most because I was curious where she was going to go with the promo. She didn't address anything like, is she going to wrestle, which I kept waiting for. It was just kind of like, why are you here? I'm here to affect change. Well, how? Bring it all the women. It's like, I don't know. And I mean, just the whole bring out all the women thing, I said it online. It reminded me of some of those post Women's Revolution segments where they were like, just get all the women in the ring. And that makes it look like we're doing something different because we have all the women on TV. And that might have worked better if it was a week where you had all the women there. Because now it just looked like, here are some random baby faces. Some of them are not even confirmed as signed yet. it was a very awkward segment.
I was trying to think of like what way to like describe the segment. And here's the thing, like, you know, I get to work a lot of, you know, shows, right? Like I get to do a lot of indie shows and a lot of that type of stuff. And there's so much in terms of like cues and things that you have to look out for. And, you know, everybody has a role and certain things that they're going to say. You know, one of the things that you always get is like, oh, this is what I'm going to, like, you always have like a person A is like, oh, this is what I'm going to say. And this is your cue to come out, and this is going to be your cue to react to this, right? You know, in terms of putting things together, right? Like there's cues and little things to follow. And when you know what those things look like and what is supposed to play out, it's very obvious when mistakes are made, right? Now, clearly, you know, Soraya has been in front of, you know, she's done amazing, right? But there were a lot of cues and I think a lot of things that were missed during this whole entire thing. And it was very, very obvious. Like it was a little bit rocky in the beginning where it was like, okay, I'm going to start off going one direction. And then it went into something else. Like I went into this thinking, okay, she's going to address to the people like, hey, you know, I'm cleared or I'm not cleared. You know, obviously not using that terminology, but letting the people know like I'm going to be wrestling or this and that. That was the thing that really needed to be made clear. And I don't think that we got that. And then on top of that, it was just the cues for me. The part where she said that the women were going to be coming out. I thought, okay, this is going to turn into a big, it's time to take over, it's time to change the AEW women's division, right? I was expecting like a big moment like that, and then it didn't end up being that. And then the Toni Storm portion of it, where she was putting over Toni Storm, unfortunately, how do I say this? Like, people know, like, she just became champion, right? It's not like we've had this tremendous Toni Storm AEW Women's World Championship run, and that's fine, right? We just got started. But I thought it felt a little bit too much to be like, oh, she's the greatest AEW Women's World Champion ever. And I get why she was saying it, because, you know, they're friends and all of that, and it was, you know, type of supposed to be like an encouragement type thing. But the people didn't like that, and you noticed it right away, because it was a little bit, I don't know how else to say this, but it was a little bit insulting to the audience, and you felt that because the crowd started booing, and they're not supposed to be booing Soraya.
It was contrived.
Or Toni, right? They're not supposed to be booing them, but because it was like, okay, we know that's not necessary, it's a little too premature to say something like that. I think it kind of rang, it just didn't hit necessarily the way that it was supposed to, right? And then finally you have this back and forth with Britt and Soraya, and I thought that it was interesting too, because Britt was doing her part. Like, she was hitting all of her lines. I thought everything she said for the most part was really great. I love the whole part of, you know, her saying like it's a, you know, calling her a shiny new toy. We've seen all of those people come and go in AEW. I love that. I love that portion of it. But when you have Britt Baker on the mic going out there and she's nailing it, but the whole crowd is chanting Jamie Hayter, and Jamie Hayter's not even saying anything, it is a little bit eye-opening that the focus is elsewhere. And so it is a little bit awkward during those moments.
Boy, when you mentioned the Toni stuff, I completely forgot until when you mentioned it. When she first said, and Toni Storm, and the camera was on Sky Blue, and Sky Blue was just kind of looking around like, yeah, I think you want to be over there. Very, very awkward. The part where she was like, I don't care if you're waving me for time. I thought that was very clearly her trying to say, I have input here. Like, you're not going to just rush me off stage. I'm going to do in-ring promos, and I'm going to try and get the other women in-ring as much as possible. So I get the point they were trying to make, that she's a big star, and if anybody, Toni will listen to her. Like, she made that point a few times throughout the segment. I got that, but it just felt a little bit too on the nose. And Britt's promo was good, but Britt had the habit of doing this thing at the heel where she makes herself look great, but she never comes back to make the other person look good. And I think, like, when you see other heels in the company like MJF, like, he understood well enough in that Yuta segment, like, you gotta let Yuta have moments to look good. And I felt like Soraya never recovered in this segment, and Britt just pretty much sucked all of the energy out of it with her promo. And then even when she tried to come back afterwards, and she was like, wait a minute, and she was like, by the way, your name rhymes with shit. And it was like,
That was another part. And thank you for reminding me because I forgot about that part. So when she said it, I didn't get it right away. And I saw a couple of people on Twitter that didn't get it right away either, because when she said her name, I think I was going more with her last name versus her first name. I wasn't thinking Brit. I was thinking more of the lines of Baker. And I was like, what the hell rhymes with Baker? So I was like, what rhymes with Baker? That's insulting.
Baker.
And so that was the only thing I could think of. So that kind of went over my head. And I saw a couple of people on Twitter that kind of like were putting out the same thing, and I thought, okay, good, I wasn't the only person that this kind of went over their head. And then once I was like, oh, okay, she meant Brit and the word was shit, okay, I get it. I just don't think that it necessarily hit. So unfortunately, this just, I think they should have just like stuck to one thing. I think they just needed to simplify it a little bit more and just get all of those cues and just have everybody, you know, with their ducks in a row of what they were going to do in this segment. Now, before we get into this match, I do want to get into our super chats because we do got quite a few super chats about this. This one is from Nick Grosso, who says the women's segment and the inaction with Saraya and Britt was lame, and it doesn't seem like she's cleared. So why was she signed? Just to keep her away from WWE? The match itself was meh, and the lumberjack stipulation was lame, says Nick Grosso. See, here's the thing. Even if she's not cleared, I still think, like, and maybe today wasn't the best example of this, but I still think there's a lot that she can contribute. Like, she did so good when she was doing it on commentary. I loved Saraya on commentary. I thought she was fun. She was enjoyable. And I just think, like here's the thing. Like, this was, you know, her first time on AEW television cutting this kind of a promo. So I feel like all of those things are going to, like, I don't think they're going to be a problem in the future, right? I think that things are going to get better. So with that being said, even if she's not wrestling, like, let's just say she's not, I still think that there's so much that they can have her do. And just like this, the fact that, you know, she's made such a big name for herself, and, you know, if she's out there and she is maybe this like mouthpiece for the babyface women, like she kind of was today, I do think that it can work.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it was to keep her away from WWE, because I mean, if they wanted to keep her, they would have kept her. I mean, they had her on contract all the way up to July, so they still wanted her. They would have re-signed her. I don't know if that was the move. I think she just wanted to be somewhere where she was used and she was on TV.
Yeah, and then there was also the line about finally having a boss that's going to listen to her. I was like, oh, okay, this is where we're going, okay.
I mean, yeah, there were a few jabs at WWE in there.
Yeah. Roberto Arsenal sends in a super chat saying, shout out to Phil for wearing that Los Ingobernables de Japón shirt. I got one too. I'd love to see Britt TBS champ and Jamie AEW Women's Champ 2023. Dude, it is clear that Jamie Hayter is getting so many great responses, and I might as well get into this match because Roberto's super chat inspired that. Obviously, we had the AEW Interim Women's Championship match with Serena Deeb and Toni Storm that became a lumberjack match. Again, like I mentioned, Saraya was on commentary, but the thing that got the biggest reaction was like Jamie Hayter, and I believe it was it Willow? Her and Willow on the outside, literally brawling for like 20 seconds. And that ended up getting like the biggest reaction of the night. Like, Toni Storm ended up getting the win. Cool. Obviously, she's the champion. But the match itself was okay. And it was crazy to me that like the biggest reaction was that little interaction that Jamie had on the outside.
Yeah. The kind of unspoken thing here with this match and with Saraya trying to put Toni over is that there's still so many answered questions with Thunder Rosa. And so because that is left unanswered and Toni is the interim champion, it's hard to completely focus on that. And I think that's part of why the fans booed. And I think that's why this didn't really hit like it could have.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it felt, there was just a lot that went wrong in this one. Thiele sends in a super chat. Thank you so much to Thiele, who says, I was expecting a Holy Sheeta chant after Saraya put Toni over as the greatest champ. I was like, and obviously people are going to have different opinions on this, but like, when you think of the best AEW women's champion, do you think Sheeta? Do you think Britt Baker?
I think Sheeta. That could be just because I'm a Sheeta mark and I think she put on the best matches as champion. But in terms of like who brought like the most like prestige to the title and who had the title on TV the most. That's definitely Britt. But I don't know if that means that she's a better champion. I think that she was just given better opportunities. And of course, she wasn't champion during the COVID. So,
yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Yeah. Alrighty. So let's go ahead and move on from here. Once again, guys, if you want to send in your support, if you want to send in your comments, your questions, whatever it is, your opinions, feel free to send in a super chat. But now let's go ahead and move on from this. That was definitely, I would say, probably one of the most interesting things that we've had in quite some time. Not interesting, like in a, I don't know how to say it. Not like in a little bit of a bad way.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and the match was good. The match was fine. It just was, everything around it was so distracting. The segment before it, the lumberjacks out there, and it was so jarring because there wasn't enough lumberjacks to fill the entire outside of ring area. There was just like, here's some lumberjacks on this side of the ring, there's some on the other side, and then just like these huge empty spaces. It was just distracting.
I will say this, I was dying of laughter when commentary and Saraya were like talking about whether or not to call the women lumberjills or lumberjacks. Like the guys didn't know like what's the proper way to describe the girls. Should they be lumberjills or lumberjacks? And I've been seeing like some people have that discussion. For me, it's lumberjacks. You call the women and the men lumberjacks, you know? I just feel like, you know. You don't have to make it like lumberjills for the women, you know? It's like, I don't feel like it's insulting if you were going to say like, hey, Denise, no, you're not a lumberjack. You're like, no, you're a lumberjill, you know? But I did think that was funny though. And I like that Saraya corrected them.
Yeah, that was definitely one of those things during the Divas era. They tried to do the lumberjill max. And so like, I enjoy all of those, like those kind of digs or whatever you want to call them at what the Divas Revolution was, their women's revolution. I mean, even Saraya saying, I am the revolution. Because a big part of the appeal of her coming back is she didn't get any of the advancements that the women's division went through after she got injured. And I feel like that was one of the big disappointments of her career coming back.
Yeah, it's like she didn't get to reap many of the rewards that some of the women got to, you know, that got later on, right? So we got a super chat here from Delayed Grats. Thank you so much to Delayed Grats, who says that Philly crowd was lackluster. Even Saraya's pop fizzled almost immediately. They started out good. And then, like you said, like Delayed Grats said here, it did fizzle out. But I thought in the beginning, like they were on it, like with the We Want Pizza chants. I was like, all right, we're here. You know, they arrived. But for the most part, it did fade out.
I can't jump on the Philly crowd too much because they were into most of the stuff that Saraya was saying. They had all of the signs out. They even tried to get the shit chant going after that lackluster comeback. But it just didn't work. It just didn't really hit.
We got a super chat here from Leonard Aarons III, who says it's becoming clear that Jamie's the people's choice in much the same way that fans got behind the Acclaimed. At this rate, if it persists, they may have to get her that strap and let her have a run. That's the thing. You can't ignore that. Like, you cannot ignore when the fans are basically, like, going nuts for someone and they're not even, like, the centerfolds. They're not even the focus. They're kind of just there. And so the fact that like the fans are reacting this way to Jamie Hayter, you gotta do something with that, you know? You gotta make sure that that's something you're featuring that every week. Like we should be seeing more of this Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter situation, right? I mean, obviously things were changed up a little bit because of Saraya's debut, but still, it should be something that they're focusing on. But thank you so much to Leonard Aarons III for the super chat. It's much appreciated. And let's go ahead and jump into our next topic here. So we got the Acclaimed, obviously the new champs. The big thing to talk about really is that next week on Wednesday, we're going to have National Scissoring Day. Phil, how excited are you to celebrate National Scissoring Day?
I don't know what to make of that. I completely forgot next week is the anniversary of Dynamite. So I think that's a cool way to do something with them next week. And there's a match next week, right?
With them, hold on, let me look. Yes, it is the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. No, they're just doing the National Scissoring Day. They didn't announce an actual match for the Dynamite show.
Okay, gotcha.
No, they have a match on Rampage. Yeah, they have a match against the Butcher and the Blade and Private Party, but that's on Rampage.
Gotcha. I don't know if I'm excited for Scissoring Day, but I think it's a good segment for them on the anniversary episode.
I'm excited. I get to wear the shirt. I got something to wear next week. Hopefully,
wait,
I don't
you
forget.
Bought a Oh, you did buy a shirt.
No, Will bought it. Will bought the shirt.
Did he buy that for your wedding after you said you didn't like Scissor Me Daddy?
Yeah, because I hated Scissor Me Daddy in the beginning. I hated it. I couldn't stand it. I thought it was so stupid. And I just didn't get it. And then afterwards, you know when you just keep hearing something and eventually you're like, okay, fine, haha. And now it's like funny because it's stupid. And now it's just funny because I don't even know why anymore.
No, I've thought it's funny from jump, but the way that it's just gotten completely over is just insane.
Yeah.
Like being in the arena and watching what it was doing in that now arena, it's just like, how did we get here?
We have a comment here from R. Riggs who says he feels sorry for Keith Lee after being teamed with Swerve. People expect a certain level of promo. Lee just looked bad. Do you agree with this, Phil?
I thought it was supposed to look this way because we're supposed to be looking like where's Swerve. And so I think it was supposed to be jarring that way. Yeah, I'm very curious to see what they do with Swerve and Keith Lee. That was my biggest question going into that segment. And it looks like we're going full speed ahead with the heel turn. And if I had to guess.
They got to. I think they definitely got to go full speed ahead with it. After this, there's not much to say about this one. Ricky Starks gets a quick squash win over Eli Isom. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but he gets a quick win with the Rochambeau. Any thoughts on this? There wasn't really much to add, really.
No. There was a lot of filler in the second half. I'm assuming that was partially because of the hurricane and they weren't at full staff. So I thought this fit for what it was. It got Ricky on TV.
And it's crazy because we're actually already to the main event. So We got the Ring of Honor World Championship on the line, and this was Bandido versus Chris Jericho. Again, Bandido's AEW debut. And first and foremost, when it comes to the match itself, it was, how do I say this? Bandido was out there and he was working, man. He was doing his thing. Obviously, Jericho is not going to be moving at the exact same pace as Bandido because Bandido's just like lightning fast. And there were some moments where it was noticeable throughout the match, but you kind of just move on from that, right? Obviously, the big moment was that vertical suplex spot where Bandido held Jericho for God, I don't even know how long. I think commentary said it had gone like a minute or something. I don't know. But that was legitimately the highlight of this match to me because it was just so freaking hilarious seeing Bandido like trying to keep up Jericho. And there was a moment where I thought he can't carry him any longer. Jericho was halfway to the ground and Bandido was like, you know, shaking. This was something. What did you think of this match? How did you feel Bandido did in his AEW debut?
Man, this might be an unpopular opinion, but I think Bandido tried his best to carry Jericho to a great match here. Bandido was fantastic in this match. I mean, him doing the stalling suplex, the near fall we got where he hit both his finishers at the end of the match, he was great. And that's not a knock at Jericho because I do feel like Jericho is having one of his best years with AEW, possibly his best year because he hasn't really missed at pay-per-views, but... I just feel like this match, you could see, like you said, the difference in pace. You could see the difference in styles. And I don't know. It still was a good match, but I thought that's because Bandido tried his best here to make this look like a great match. Like what you asked me earlier about Juice and did this impress people? Bandido tried his best to impress the AEW audience. And I thought he succeeded. I thought every time the audience got up for this match, it was because of Bandido.
It was, honestly. And if anybody impressed here tonight, it was Bandido. Like, even though, like, yeah, like, this wasn't, like, a great match. It was mainly just seeing like, I don't know how else to say this. Like, dude was working, okay? And you yeah. can tell. Like, he was, like, making sure, like, you know what? There's people watching. And if I want to be called back and have another match, like, you know, here in AEW again, like, I'm going to make sure that I go out there and I do my very best work. And there's a lot of people that I'm seeing in the chat here. Like, this was their first time seeing Bandido. And, you know, like, for me, like, I think that if this was your first time seeing Bandido and you saw him in a match against Chris Jericho and you still like felt this way about it, I think that's like a really, it's a positive thing, man, because now if you see if you were to see Bandido going up against, you know, some of the other guys that can maybe move just a little bit more similarly to Bandido, then you would be seeing like an even hell of a match, man. Like, I remember I think it was, I'm trying to remember, I don't even remember who it was anymore, but it was an indie show and it might have been Flamita, but they had like an incredible freaking match together where I had never seen that kind of speed in a wrestling ring like in my entire life. And it was so freaking crazy. And also, really quickly, I want to share my Bandido story, Phil, because this was, and as a person who does interviews and podcasting like yourself, there was a moment a couple of years ago, I went to when Ring of Honor was doing the Madison Square Garden show, right? I did their media day. And let me tell you, I did an interview with Bandido. And guess what? My microphone was off the entire time.
Oh, no.
Okay. My whole interview with Bandido was muted. And I was like, hells no, I cannot leave this room without an interview with Bandido. And let me tell you, I went up to him. I had to swallow my pride, Phil, because I was so goddamn embarrassed. I swallowed my pride and I told Bandido, can we please do this interview one more time? I wasn't like, my microphone was off. And he looked at me and he, and obviously this was in Spanish, and he was like, of course, we're going to do it again. And he freaking did that That's interview awesome. Again. He answered the exact same questions I asked him. And forever, I will have mad respect for Bandido. Because if I was Bandido and someone told me to redo an interview, I'd be like, nah, peace out. You had your chance.
Just, you know? Let this be a lesson to any of you guys that are podcasters or want to be interviewers. Always check your equipment beforehand. You always have to check your equipment. I don't care how much time, how many times you use it. Always have to check your equipment. Yes. I mean, we learned this tonight because I had to switch microphones. You always check your equipment. Man, but I've seen Bandido wrestle twice this year. He's always fantastic. I mean, again, he knows how to get a crowd into it. I saw him wrestle at an Impact show just for the tapings here in Chicago. Incredible. Of course, it's West Side of Chicago. And if you know anything about West Side of Chicago, it's a big Latino community there.
I noticed that when I went to Chicago.
Over.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay, so it's so funny because I found my Airbnb, right? And like, I don't know Chicago. I don't know the areas. I don't know what town is what. I have no idea. And I got there and I saw, I was like, what the fuck? Like, because you know, where I grew up in Bell Gardens here in California. And it is a very like Hispanic area. Obviously, I'm Mexican and all of that. And I got there and I was like, the frick? Am I in Bell Gardens? What's happening here? I didn't know Chicago had this kind of an area. They had panaderias, they had taquerias, they had like all of this stuff. Bro, I felt like I don't know, I felt happy to be there.
Yeah, no. Chicago is notoriously very segregated in certain places. So once you get on the west side, there's a huge Hispanic community. And yeah, seeing Bandido and Cicero, like that crowd was into him the entire match.
Oh, hell yeah. I can imagine it. So I think it was definitely a great showing. We got a super chat here from Leonard Aarons III who says, I don't see SIOG. Hold on. What am I thinking? What's SIOG?
Swerve in Our Glory.
Oh, Swerve in Our Glory. I was like, what's SIOG? Okay. I don't see Swerve in Our Glory breaking up, but it'll be interesting to see how long they have to wait to get the return shot of the titles after that loss. You have to let the Acclaimed have their time in the light. Like, you just have to. You have to let them have their moment and keep it going until the next team comes up and they have their moment. Thoughts on
this? I think that they're going to get a rematch. And the reason I think they're going to get a rematch is they're going to turn around and go, well, we beat these guys at All Out and we were forced to give them the rematch. So, and Billy Gunn jumped in our match, so we're owed a rematch. So I think they're going to get a rematch, and I think that is going to be where the turn is going to happen. I think they're going to lose again, and this is probably going to set up either the one-on-one match for Full Gear or later this year.
It's got to. I think it's got to be for Full Gear, or who knows, unless they do like a slow burn and let it, you know, soak a little bit. But hopefully they do like a one shot and go, because I don't want to do none of the slow burn stuff with Swerve and Keith Lee, because they're already doing it with Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. They were doing it in the past with Wardlow and MJF. So let's just have it, you know.
Yeah, and this is already really a slow burn because Swerve kicked him out of the Battle Royal and they got back together then. So I think they're going to pull the trigger soon.
Justin Martin sends in a super chat saying, my sister saw Bandido wrestle for the first time tonight. She said, that guy is insane. Dude put on one heck of a show all night. Great main event. And here's the thing. Tony is very, very like connected with social media, and he's definitely seen what people are saying and what they think of the show, what they think of the product. We know that, right? I hope he's seen all of the great responses that Bandido is getting tonight.
Sign this man. Yeah, and I mean, look, again, I wasn't the biggest fan of Jericho winning the title, but the thing you have to understand about him being Ring of Honor champion is he will put over guys like Bandido, and he will get those guys spotlight that they wouldn't have gotten before.
Yeah, 100%. That's definitely something you can count on with Jericho for sure. Alrighty, well, there you go. That was the main event. Let's get into the matches that were announced for Rampage and also for the Dynamite Anniversary Show. And if you guys want to send in any last final thoughts, you are more than welcome to. Also, heads up, guys, I will not be here this Friday because I am flying to Cleveland, Ohio. I will be at a friend's wedding for Jeremy Lambert. So that's going to be exciting, but I will not be here on Friday. Well, I will be back next week on Tuesday for NXT, and then I will obviously be here for Dynamite and SmackDown and Rampage and all of that good stuff. But let's talk about what's been announced for Rampage this coming Friday. We got John Silver versus Rush. We got the Acclaimed defending the AEW tag team titles against the Butcher and the Blade and Private Party. We got Willow Nightingale versus Jamie Hayter. Hook is going to be appearing, and we're also going to be getting Lee Moriarty versus Fuego del Sol. Thoughts on this card, Phil?
I think it's really good. I was surprised we didn't get anything announced for Yuta, because Yuta jumped MJF later in the night.
Oh, I forgot to talk about that. I thought I was going to say that, and I completely forgot to talk about that.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. Oh.
No, we forgot. Sorry. We can talk about it now, actually. Well, you were already talking about it, so I'll let you continue on. Sorry.
I thought it was great. It reminded me of, I was going to say Alistair on NXT, but I would rather not reference that wrestler. We're going to go with Keith Lee sliding up behind, Finn Balor. It reminded me of that because he just came out of nowhere, and I thought it made Yuta look great. I thought it was a great way for him to continue the momentum he got earlier in the night. And again, this is what MJF is good at. He's so good at getting heat, but also making sure that you care about the babyface that he's feuding with.
Yeah, exactly. And okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a sucker for like some of the dumbest things, okay? Like I pop for some dumb stuff, all right? And new scenery is something that I pop for. Whenever we see a brawl, or some sort of fight, or well, obviously a brawl, it's a fight, same thing. But whenever we see anything in a different part of the building, I get excited for that kind of stuff. So when Wheeler Yuta popped up behind MJF while he's in the skybox and, you know, attacks him and then he ends up falling into the crowd, I love this. Why? Because I got to see new scenery. We got to see the skybox. You know, when new scenery comes, new things to play with. And with new things to play with comes creativity. And creativity leads to memorable moments. And so that's why I kind of love stuff like this. So, and I wasn't expecting a Wheeler Yuta to come and attack MJF from behind. So I feel like personally, this added so much to Wheeler Yuta. Like it made me go, okay. He actually gives a damn. He's pissed off, and he's going to take advantage when MJF is not, you know, when he has his back turned. Okay, fine. I thought it gave a much-needed edge or cool factor to Yuta that he needed.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was close to, like, the stuff with the Jericho – well, not Jericho Appreciation Society – Inner Circle in the box, and Cody coming and busting the glass with Scarf. which happened to be MJF's card.
All right. And then our AEW Dynamite anniversary show, we got MJF versus Wheeler Yuta happening. We got National Scissoring Day with the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. We got Luchasaurus in action, Darby Allin versus Jay Lethal. We also have Bryan Danielson and the ROH Pure Champion Daniel Garcia taking on the ROH World Champion Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, that being a tag team match. Honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing what MJF and Wheeler Yuta are going to do together in this match and how it's going to play out. I think that'll be fun. Darby Allin, Jay Lethal, I'm expecting to have a pretty good match. Same thing for the tag team match as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for Hayter versus Willow. I think that's going to be a good match. I think the crowd will be into it because the crowd is under Jamie right now. And Willow is such a good babyface, so I think that's going to be a fun match. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the tag match because they've also said that they're well, they haven't said it, but Jericho challenged Brian for the match in Toronto in a few weeks. So I'm into it. I'm into everything they're doing with the BCC versus JAS. I'm just curious how they're going to stick the landing.
I love it. This is a funny comment, by the way. This is from Layton, who says father plus sir gets son tag match.
Yes, yes.
That's a good way of putting it. That's awesome. Alrighty, guys, there you go. That was AEW Dynamite for today, September 28th. But before we go, I do want to thank Phil Lindsay, who came in here and being a guest on today's show. I really appreciate you coming, especially last minute, since I am a very last minute person. I reach out to people like the day of. So I appreciate you coming on. Before we go, please let everybody know like where they can support you and all of that.
Yeah, appreciate you for having me. Sorry for the technical difficulties at first. You can follow me at PhilDL616, as it says below. You can find my writing at Bleacher Report. And of course, you can watch Grapsody every Saturday at noon Eastern time. This weekend is our anniversary episode. It doesn't seem like we've been around for a whole year, but somehow you guys have let this guy and Will Washington and Righteous Reg remain on YouTube for a year. So come check your boys out this weekend.
That's awesome. Guys, make sure to show some love to Phil Lindsay. As for me, you guys already know, at @_DennySalcedo. I don't have my name thing on here, but you all know where to find me. Twitter and Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.com/DennySalcedo. I will see you back here next week for NXT, AEW, SmackDown, and Rampage. Until next time, see you all later. Bye, everyone.